Al will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, Al.
There's always a pecking order. The little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken.
This episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Florida Alternative Medicine and Old School Labs. All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, where we talk to the legends of bodybuilding and we also talk about the history of bodybuilding. And my name is John Hansen and I am your host. And on today's show, we have Jerry Scalise. And Jerry was a top bodybuilder in the 1980s. Jerry is from the New York area and he competed in the AAU contest, and then he went into the MPC when it was first starting, and then he went over to the NABBA competitions, the NABBA Mr. Universe. So he's got a very extensive career. He trained with some of the greats in the sport, including John DeFendis at Steve Mihalik's Mr. America gym in New York. He also trained with Mike Quinn. So Jerry's a real good old school bodybuilder, and he's training people right now for competitions. So he's got a lot of great stories. So we're going to talk to Jerry in a minute. And I want to mention right off the bat that we are sponsored by Old School Labs. I have been with Old School Labs for several years now. This is the supplement company that draws on the wisdom of the golden era of fitness and bodybuilding to offer unique supplements for the discerning athlete. I'm talking no proprietary blends, no artificial flavors or sweeteners. You may have heard of their award-winning fat burner, which is called Vintage Burn, the world's first muscle-preserving fat burner. Or Vintage Blast, which is the world's first two-stage pre-workout. Old School Labs is the only brand that I use, trust, and associate my name with. They're also the company that sponsors Breon Ansley, who is the 2017 and 2018 Classic Physique Olympia champion. They also sponsor 1983 Mr. Olympia Samir Banoot, bodybuilding legend Tom Platz, and the real deal Chris Cormier. So use the discount code LEGENDS12 when you go to oldschoollabs.com and you'll get 12% off your order. Old School Labs supplements that make sense. All right. I hope everybody had a happy Easter yesterday or a blessed Passover. I was sick, as you could probably hear in my voice. I've been sick all weekend. I don't know what happened. I think I got run down at work. I worked a little overtime last week and it started to hit me Friday. And then, unfortunately, I had to work outside on Saturday, and we had this massive windstorm in Tampa out here. It was like 30-mile-an-hour winds all day, so I was out in that all day. So I think that's what put me over the edge. So I was pretty sick all weekend. I was supposed to record this beginning of this podcast actually on Saturday, and then we're supposed to do it on Sunday. So now we're doing it on Monday. So I hope you guys get this not too late. Hopefully I'll get over this quickly and get back to my training. My training's been going pretty good and I want to get back on my diet. So I hate being sick. I know you guys do too, I'm sure. And I think I jinxed myself because last week I was just thinking to myself and I said, man, I hardly ever get sick. I think I only get sick like once a year. And as soon as I said that, I got sick. All right. So what else is going on? I'm reading a new book I want to tell you guys about. It's called Mr. America. And it's written by a guy named John Fair. And I first heard of John Fair when I think I interviewed Boyer Coe the first time, because we were talking about the 1980 Mr. Olympia. And Boyer mentioned to me, he goes, if you ever really want to read a very well-researched article about the 1980 Mr. Olympia, he goes, look up this article by a guy named John Fair. So I was on Amazon last week or a couple weeks ago, and I saw John Fair had written a couple books about bodybuilding. So this one looked really interesting. It was kind of an expensive book. I think it was like $35. But he goes all the way to the beginning of bodybuilding in the 1800s, starting with Eugene Sandow, of course. And he goes all the way through the history of the Mr. America contest. And I found it kind of interesting because the part I'm at in the book now, which is the beginning, John is talking about how bodybuilding competitions were judged. And, of course, we just did that interview with Peter McGough and Lonnie Tepper, and we were talking about if they're going to start changing the direction of judging and bodybuilding and going more for symmetry than just muscle mass. So it was interesting to note that if you go all the way back to the very beginning of bodybuilding, they were still talking about this. What should they judge? Because, of course, with Eugene Sandow's time, there wasn't even a lot of people who were lifting weights. So when they were looking for the perfect physique, they were judging it based on the Greek sculptures. And they were just looking for more for symmetry and proportion and not at all for muscle size. And then, of course, when the Mr. America contest started in 1939, they were having that same debate. They were sort of judging it based on the Miss America contest, which started around the same time. And they were looking for things like the guy had to be good looking, he had to be tall, he had to have good posture, good teeth, good hair. He had to be, they used to do interviews with the Mr. America contest, just like they used to do with the Miss America contest. And then they had the another subcategory of Mr. America called the most muscular. So that would be the ones where the guys were more muscular developed, more bigger. So it was interesting because you had guys like Dan Lurie when he was young. I think he was 18 when he first went into the Mr. America contest. And Dan was a shorter bodybuilder and he was very muscular. So Dan would try to compete just in the most muscular man contest and he wouldn't even do the overall Mr. America contest. So it was very, very interesting. And I'm really getting into the book. So I recommend that book if you guys want to learn more about the history of bodybuilding. It's called Mr. America. And I bought it on Amazon. It's from John Fair. So check that out. I talked to Barry DeMay this week because I saw that Barry did an interview with Muscular Development. They have a podcast now. So he did an interview with them, and I was sort of surprised because he told me that he would be I would be the first one to do an interview with when he started doing his interviews. But he told me that he was upset that he did that interview. He really wasn't ready for it. He was on vacation with his family, I think, when he did that interview. And he said he wasn't really happy with it. So he said he's really looking forward to talking to me, although it's going to be a couple more months, he said, because he wants to wait until his training program is all ready to go, which he said will be in 2 more months. So we're going to have a really, really good interview with Barry DeMay when that finally happens. And I talked to my buddy Tom Terwilliger, who was a guest on the show, and I asked him if he could put in the good word for me with Gary Stridham and Matt Mendenhall. And so Gary said he knows who I am, and he said when he decides to do an interview, he would be happy to do one with me. So keep your fingers crossed. Hopefully that'll come to fruition pretty soon. And I guess Matt Mendenhall is having some surgery done, so he thinks maybe when he's recovering, he'll be able to talk to me about that. So we'll see. We'll see what happens, but I'll just keep reaching out. I talked to Lonnie Teeper because I told him I wanted to interview Albert Beckles because Lonnie took a picture with Albert a couple weeks ago at a contest and it got a lot of hits on Facebook. And unfortunately, Albert said he does not want to do any interviews. So that was a bummer. I could try to reach out to Albert myself, but I doubt if he'll do it. And also Albert Busack, another great photographer, a good friend of Arnold. The guy's been around forever. He promoted the 1983 Mr. Olympia contest in Munich, Germany. And Albert has been running the IFBB for Germany. He's been representing Germany in the IFBB for many, many years. I don't think he still does it, but he did for many years. So I had Gary Bartlett, another former guest on the show, and he tried to talk to Albert, but Albert also said he didn't want to do it. So it's a shame that a lot of these legends of the sport, some of whom are getting older, like Albert Beckles, they don't want to do the interviews, but all we can do is keep trying. Would love to hear their stories while they're still here. That's what I regret about not being able to talk to Ed Corney before he passed away. And that's what I'd love to do with some of these other guys. So I'll just keep trying, guys. That's all I can do. And we had a great interview last week with John Natashak, 1984 IFBB Mr. Universe, and also winner in the Nationals, NPC Nationals in the middleweight class. So I did get some comments. I didn't get any emails, but I did get some comments about John's interview on my Facebook page. Pete Pingle, who's a lawyer listener, he said, John, I listened to it today. I loved it. Natashak was a very good bodybuilder. I did not realize he rose up through the ranks so fast. Amazing. Another great show. Thank you very much. Pat Comer said, great show. Another smart bodybuilder who didn't quit his day job. Pete Fancher said, another great interview. Good job. And Brad Allen, another loyal listener. Brad said, another great interview, John. Natashak was so awesome. Maybe it's just that I came along right around 83 or 84. But to me, that 84 universe was the best ever. What I really loved was hearing how much John still really loves to train. I was a gym rat in 84, and I'm a gym rat in 2019. It's fun, and I like the discipline, so it's good when we find those who haven't left the gym long after their careers. You fit this category as well, although I don't get the sense that your competitive days are over. We'll see, Brad. And Samir Banut said, fantastic, my friend. And Samir, please, let's do that part two of our interview. Man, I keep bugging Samir. And he never responds, but he's a great guy. I just hope one day we get that part two up. All right. We don't have an article today because I'm a little bit under the weather, but hopefully next week we will go back to reading an article. I know you guys like those, and I'll try to find some other good ones from some old Muscle Builder magazines. I also got Muscle Mag International magazine, so maybe I could find some from there. So before we get to our interview with Jerry Scalise, I want to mention also that we are brought to you by Florida Alternative Medicine, where age is just a number. If you want to feel great, optimize your energy levels, burn fat, and balance your hormone levels to maximize your potential, then go see the experts at Florida Alternative Medicine and Weight Loss. They have a certified and knowledgeable staff that will work with you to achieve your goals and get you the results you've been looking for. They offer a wide range of services that ensure you will not only look and feel amazing, but also be comfortable knowing that they're there for you every step of the way. Their competitive pricing, along with their quality products and services, are just a few reasons to give them a call. So call them out here in Tampa, Florida at their office number, which is 813-922-8939. You do not need to be from Tampa to work with them. They'll work with anybody in the continental United States. Again, that's 813-922-8939. Or you can just reach them at their website if that's easier, flalternativemeds.com, flalternativemeds.com, and mention that you heard the ad on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, and they will give you a free consultation. They'll also give you 20% off your order. All right, that is it for our opening, and here is our interview with Jerry Scalise, legendary bodybuilder from the 1980s. Here we go. All right, welcome back to the Bodybuilding Legends show, and my special guest this week is Jerry Scalise, and Jerry is one of the top amateur bodybuilders competing in the 1980s. He had one of the most massive physiques on stage, and he competed in both the NPC and the AAU and also in NABBA. So it's a pleasure to have you on the show, Jerry.
Thank you, John. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I see your post on Facebook all the time. You're still training a lot of the young guys now, huh?
Yeah, I try to teach them the right way of training.
Yeah.
Definitely hardcore. You know, that's pretty much the only way to succeed.
Right.
Unless you're a genetic freak and you can get by with, you know, not training that hard.
Right. Teaching them the old school way of training, huh?
Yeah, I try to take when I owned the Gold's Gym for like 25 years, you know, I was always there, so I always took kids off the floor, or you know, I had everybody compete, and everybody trained hard in the gym, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it fed off from each other, you know.
Where was that Gold's Gym at that you owned?
That was in Deer Park, Long Island.
All right.
We opened around 89, and so a couple of years ago. But it was a great gym. We had a lot of champions out of there, a lot of, you know, pro athletes, pro wrestlers trained there. It was really hardcore. It was a great gym.
Did you find that it's hard in today's world to have a hardcore gym like that, you know, like the old school gyms, because of all the all these corporate gyms that are opening up with the low monthly rates and stuff?
You know, you got Steve Weinberger's, the house there. I mean, there's nothing better than that. And the people that took over my goals, ProFit, they kind of kept it hardcore. So those two gyms are, like, really great. I mean, you could walk in there with nobody in there and get a great workout.
Okay. You know, okay. You know, That's good to hear. There's some hardcore gyms still left, you know?
Yeah, there's actually a few out here. You know, but you know, you got the LA's and, you know, and your Anytime Fitnesses, but I guess they're all good gyms. Like, it depends what you want to do, you know?
Right. Well, Jerry, I was looking at your contest history here before we did our interview, and I saw you did your first show in the late 70s. So what age did you start training with weights?
I was a baseball player. I played baseball, and I remember in like 10th grade, the school ended up, we got the Universal. Remember the old Universal?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we got that. It was in the auxiliary gym where the wrestling room was. And I was working out in my house, and we were working out there. And I guess I was like 10th grade playing baseball. I was probably one of the only baseball players training back
then.
Yeah. So, you know, I was training a lot. And then I had some weights at home at my friend's house. And then I met John Defendis. Through my dad and this other friend, they were in the Korean War together. Their son had, you know, told Johnny about me, and then Johnny gave me a call, and I took a train to his house, and you know, we trained at his house.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he got me on the way, you know, how to intense, and then I started going to Olympic Health Club. That was the first gym I joined.
Okay.
And John, if you remember John Booz, he was Mr. World back in the 70s.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that name.
Yeah, he was managing that and put me on my first diet. I was like, I was 19, and I was only training in the gym for 6 months. So I just, you know, was doing legs and, you know, just, you know, basic stuff. And then I entered the Jersey show. I took third, and then I took second in the Connecticut show. And then I was going to turn 20. And back then they had the Teenage USA and the Teenage America. But so I ended up hitting the Teenage USA in Pittsburgh, and I ended up taking fourth place. Back then it was only three placings, if you remember.
Right, right.
In the show. And there was body parts, and I got called out for best chest and best back. What was funny about that is, first time I picked up a magazine, you know, Arnold was on the cover. You know, that's when you could pick up the magazines and you had all, you know, you could get all the training out of it. And yeah. I used to do chest and back every day. You know, I didn't know any better. And I ended up getting called out for chest and back. So it was
it worked.
Kind of funny.
What body parts grew quick on you, Jerry? I mean, did you find that you had good genetics when you started training? Did you grow pretty quick?
Yeah, I actually had pretty good build playing baseball, too. You know, it's pretty
athletic. Okay.
And when I joined the gym, you know, I had no leg work, you know, obviously in my house or nothing. And I just got, you know, I seen pictures of plats, and I just squatted that.
Right.
My legs actually got far ahead of my upper body.
Yeah, yeah.
And kind of what kind of, with the Olympic Health Club I went, there was my good friend Tony Candela. He was a big power lifter. I'd gone to the Nationals with him 1 year and, you know, watched Ed Cohen, and I you know, I fell in love with the power lift. So I started, you know, deadlifting, benching. I always did it, but I kind of get it more to a routine, you know, and it's my upper body started to grow. I always did a lot of sets. You know, I trained with Mahalik, Defendus, and, you know, at Mr. America's gym. That was pretty insane back then. Joe Nazario trained there. You know, and when they had the Night of the Champions, all the guys used to come, you know, back in the 70s, you know, Robbie and them. But yeah, I remember the first time, you know, I walked into Mr. America's, and me and my friend Al, I said, we got to go to this place. Everybody's talking about it, you know. And, you know, you walk in, and there was Steve at the counter with this V-neck terry cloth pullover.
Right. Right.
And he said, what are you guys training? And we said, oh, legs. And, you know, we were training legs, but we didn't really know so much. I think I was maybe 20, or, you know, my friend was 19. He goes, come on, I'll put you through some legs. And then it just started. You know, we weren't even prepared, but we made through it. I mean, at the end, he had us running around the building, coming in, doing a leg extension. I was looking at I was looking at my partner. He was looking at me. And, you know, we made it through. I didn't think he'd think I was going to make it through, but. And then the next day, he said, you know, come back and do arms. You know, when we left there, I was like, this is the way to go. You got to train like this. I guess this is how it becomes, you know.
Yeah,
you know, it's pretty nuts, you know.
Yeah, you were a disciple right away, huh?
Yeah. I mean, remember, John, I remember when you used to go to gyms, like, there was always a pro or a big name that owned the gym, and you could always get a lot of information out of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, it's a little different today, you know.
Sure, absolutely, yeah. I was looking at this Team USA you did in 78. Michael Antorino was in that, a future Mr. America.
Yeah, Mike, Casey Kachurik.
Casey Kachurik won it, yeah.
Kenny Goss was in, a couple of my friend Joey Fulco was in.
Oh, yeah, I remember Joey. Yeah,
and Joey, me and Joey went down together, and then Joey ended up, he won the next year. He won the overall the next year.
Right, right.
Yeah, some great times back then. Yeah, it was just high classes back then.
Yeah, I remember. How did those guys look back then in the teenage?
It was pretty good. The teenage shows were pretty packed. I remember some of the teen nationals. I don't know when Johnny went. There was like 15 kids in a class. You know, it was a lot
right.
of kids.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, there was only bodybuilding then. Now it's, you know, everybody's, you know, everything, like anything else, it evolves. And, you know, now there's the physique and the classics.
Right, you know? Right.
So, but there was that was all there was, women's bodybuilding and bodybuilding. That's what you were geared to, you know, and that was it.
So after you did those first couple shows, did you want to be like a professional bodybuilder? Did you want to be Mr. America? I remember everybody wanted to be Mr. America back then.
Yeah, I actually, in my basement, it's funny, you know, some of the things you do when you're young. I had put up these things. I had all the pictures of Arnold and Sergio, you know, on your wall. And I put up a piece of paper, and I put these three things up. That I wanted to train in goals in Santa Monica, win the Miss America, and all the Cadillac, you know, the crazy stuff, you know.
And, that was your vision board.
just, you know, crazy stuff. You had all the, you know, the old photos up. And, you know, just, you know, you trained in my garage. Like, I used a couch for a preacher bench. I mean, I had an iron bench that you know, I had plastic weights. I did pull-ups on my mom's iron railing going around the upstairs.
right.
You know, just crazy stuff. You know, then I started, you know, I had to join the gyms and stuff. And, you know, I took it from there. I had a lot of help from Johnny and, you know, and, you know, my coach, I don't know if you know Bob Gruskin.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, Bob to this day. And if I had to do a show now, he's like 80-something. I would still go,
right.
go and see him.
Right,
he
right.
Was one, he was one of the best.
Yeah. When did you meet Bob?
I'll tell you a funny story. The night before the Teenage Colonial America, that was the first show I hit. Johnny, I didn't know how to pose. I didn't have a posing routine. And Johnny was in his brother's deli working there. And Johnny said, you know, come down. I'll give you a routine. So the night before, I head down to John's deli to close it up. He actually gave me a routine in the back of the kitchen of the deli and stuff. And the next day, I guess he told Bob I was coming to the show. And then Bob was there. And we hooked up, you know, ever since then, when I was like 19.
Yeah. You know? How did Bob help you? Because I've had quite a few guests on the show, and I've interviewed a lot of people, and they all talk about how Bob helped them.
Yeah, the first thing Bob ever told you was make sure you got something to fall back on.
Oh, really? Okay.
You know, yeah, well, Bob was a college professor, doctor of physiology and anatomy, so, you know, he was a big schooling guy, and, you know, he always told us that, you know?
Yeah.
And he just knew, I mean, I can't even explain, the diets, the, you know, the chemicals, you know, everything. And just like, you would go up there Monday, and like by the time Friday came, you were like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, isn't it amazing how he so intuitively knew like what to do with the diet and everything, and how he could just keep all these guys?
Yeah, he was just like, I mean, I know guys drink gallons of water right up to the show. I mean, we cut water out almost a day and a half.
Yeah.
I remember cutting, but we never stopped eating. We always, I never cut carbs down, or when totally low carb, I always kept the same food in, but we cut the water out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he was like a master at that. I never seen anyone that he bring wasn't in contest shape.
Right, right. They were all in peak condition. I mean, you go back to Mike Quinn, Joe Miko, Jeff King. All the guys that won the America were all trained by Gruskin. You know.
Yeah, Johnny. I mean, just the stuff goes on. And it's a funny thing. Well, I used to, over Bob's house, you would hear the answering machine go off all day. Bob, this is so and so. This is so and so. Yeah, you know, tons of pros. And,
right.
You know, it was just funny, and he would just look at me, you know. And we would just laugh. Yeah, people couldn't imagine, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I know a lot of Chris Cicino stuff is probably from Bob.
Right. You know, right. Yeah. He talks about him all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. It's he didn't make it that hard. He made it simple, but I mean, he demanded that, you know, you put your time in and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, there really were no contest prep coaches except for him, probably, you know.
Yeah, it was I remember a couple of times you were trying it yourself, and like anything, it's everything's a hit and miss.
Yeah,
you
know, for sure.
You really,
yeah.
really learned your body. I mean, that happened to me a couple of times with the actually, when I did the NPC Nationals 2 years in a row, I mean, I moved out to California in 83, and I actually was training. I met Mike Mensa, and he was helping me out, you know.
Every day.
And it's funny, I started training his way, and I just came from New York training, you know, with Mahalo doing a million sets.
Doing the opposite, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm a person that believes if you keep a blind eye and closed ears, you never get better in the sport.
Right.
I mean, it's good to try everything. I'm a big into Olympic. I was always into Olympic lifting and powerlifting. I use everything.
Okay. You know, how did you like training with Mensa? Did you respond off of that?
It was great. It was. He got me in really good shape. I'll tell you a story. Like I would go meet, and first we would meet at this donut shop up near the pier. We'd have these apple fritters before we'd go and train. And I was, you know, training for that. I just listened to him because I, you know, it's Mike Mensa. You know, you're going to, I'm going to listen to him. And we go there and we train the heavy duty. I changed my whole training around. It was a lot of force reps, negatives. And then after that, we would go down to Marina Del Rey and we'd go to this place to eat. We would have like chicken breast and carrot cake. So he was using a lot of this stuff But calorie-wise and carb-wise, like, you know, I guess he took, you know, that's why I followed. I was getting in great shape, and I was training hard. And we trained for a while. And then I guess a week out, I was about 205. That was the 83. And Mike had to go over to Germany. I couldn't get in touch with him. You know, back then it was no cell phones or nothing.
Right, right.
You know, he left a message at the front desk that he had an emergency to leave to go over there. And I was like, I was kind of stuck because I was like, listening to everything he said. I was about 205. I was in really good shape. And I said, you know, let me drop down to the light heavies.
Uh-huh.
That would be better. And then, you know, you start doing guesswork. And I ended up in San Jose. I was 191 pounds.
Wow.
And, you know, I just couldn't. I mean, I placed, I think, sixth. I kind of placed pretty decently because of my shape. But I didn't look that great. But at 205, I was really good. But that's how, you know, you just I did the same thing the next year, too. I cut my food down and the weight just dropped. And then, you know, I think I took sixth, seventh around, something like that. And that shows back then, if you were in the top 10, top 15, it was great.
Oh, yeah. It was tough just to make the top 15 because there were so many guys in each class. Yeah.
Like you said, there was no, it was just bodybuilding. There was no, everybody was bodybuilding. That was it.
Right.
You know, then I jumped, you know, I didn't leave the, you know, I won the Junior USA, the NPC, and a couple other shows.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I didn't leave because, you know, people always like, people leave, they go, oh, they get gripes with organization. Me, I deserve what I got. I didn't look good.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I tried the AU, and the AU was good at the time, too. You know, it was stacked up. And then I didn't really look at the weight no more because it was just the height classes still, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I went in the 86 America, and Glenn ended up winning the whole role. Kinnear.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it was me, Glenn, and Vince Comerford in the short class. You know.
Okay. Yeah.
So I knew the winner was going to come from there. You know, when you know, you just, and whoever won that class,
right, you know, right,
won the overall. And so
right.
We were back that, I remember pumping up, and you know, Vince got called for third. So me and him looked at each other, and I said, "Wow, it's between me and Glenn." And then, you know, I got second, and Glenn won. Glenn was in better shape than me and Vince. He was pretty hard, really hard.
He was
in great condition. I was maybe a week out, maybe two. You know, Vince was just, you know, we were just big, but we weren't as conditioned as Glenn. And Glenn was just ripped up.
Yeah, I just interviewed Glenn not too long ago, and he said he thought it was his conditioning that helped him win it, because he said you were really right up there too, you know.
Yeah, I like, we, me and Vince knew, I guess all three of us, I knew it was close, so I didn't know what way they were going, but
yeah,
he had the better condition, and even in the overall, he was really conditioned, you know?
Right.
It was really hard and stuff. It was a good show. Marlon Daunt was there. And,
I mean, Phil Hill.
You guys,
Phil Hill. Yeah.
I mean, people don't realize a lot of guys that turned IFBB Pro didn't win the America, they lost.
Right. Did you find that going over to the AAU was more beneficial to you because you had so much muscle mass, and but you were kind of short. You weren't, you know, so in order to compete.
The high classes was a gate. The weight classes weren't bad. It's just that you have to really get the weight classes down pat. I mean, I see it today, too. I'd be going to some of these shows, and you see the guy dropping down, and he flattens out.
Or
guy staying in the super heavies, he should be a heavyweight. So it's kind of, it teeters, and if you don't get it right, I mean, you can ruin a year's prep. I did it 2 years in a row, you know? And then, you know, finally, after 86, I finally got my body right where I could, didn't matter if I went weight or height, you know, I finally got it down where sucking down, you know, it's all trial by error, you know, you're doing this a long time.
Yeah. It takes you a while to get it down. Yeah. I don't know if you remember Chuck Sano from Chicago.
I know Chuck.
Yeah, because Chuck was, I think, 5'9", and he wasn't quite big enough to go into the heavyweights, so he'd always suck down to light heavyweights, but he was really at his best around 205. And then he had to lose, like, that extra 8 pounds, and it just kind of flattened him out a lot of times. And he was always shredded, but he'd always lose to a shorter, thicker guy, you know?
Yeah, people don't realize back then, it was the day of the show. There was no weighing in, and you had a day or two to come back.
Right. That's true. Yeah.
So you would weigh in, and then the show would be in about an hour or two later.
Right. Yeah. Nowadays they do it so far ahead.
Yeah. I did at the Nationals in 82 in New York when Haney won and Mendenhall was there.
Yeah.
I was about 201, but I was in shape. I was ripped up for the Junior USA, and then I put on about 13 pounds. My dad had passed away like 4 or 5 weeks before the Nationals. And I just, not that I wasn't it, I was just eating. And I got on, I got on the scale 201. I didn't put like, I didn't put, you know, 12 pounds of muscle on in 3 months.
Right.
And so I said, you know, I did the same thing. I said, I'm going to go to the light heavies. I went upstairs. I put plastic suit, jackets, got soda. I came down. I weighed 198 and a quarter, right? And those, meanwhile, the pre-judging was like in an hour or so.
It's like no time
my head was pounding. And I was just, I was just flat. I think I ended up taking like 10th place. You know, but you learn. You learn from this stuff. You know, you learn.
Sure. Yeah. What'd you weigh for the Junior USA earlier that year when you won the late?
Oh, it was 189.
189. Wow.
Yeah.
No,
189 pounds.
Yeah. I can't imagine you're 189 because you got so much size. You know.
Yeah. Just yeah. Like I said, it's you know, it was just funny how different shows and just just a little bit of tweaking could screw you up or help you.
Right. Right. And then you were in the 81 USA too, right? With Jesse Gautreaux won.
Yeah, my first, it was right after the Northeastern Americas, my first national show was in New York.
Okay.
And I really trained hard for it. And I didn't even know, I mean, I kind of just went in because I didn't know if I was good enough to even compete with those guys, you know? And I ended up, I took fifth in the class. It was Ernie Santiago, Gautreaux, Jimmy Seitzer.
Yeah.
And Columbus. I can't remember who was the other guy. But
Steve,
yeah, was
Steve Stepaniak?
Stepaniak was in the heavyweights. He was huge, Stepaniak.
Okay.
And, you know, Ron McBeth was in there.
Yeah.
Who else? And Lin, I think, was it Lindsey McKinnon? I'm not sure. But Santiago, I think, ended up winning Ernie.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Yeah, Ernie was really good. I mean, Ernie won everything pretty much.
Yeah, people forget how great that guy was. You know,
he was awesome, and Jimmy Seitzer was huge too.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I just heard him interviewed on another podcast, and I remember his name. He had that really, wide shoulders, really good legs.
Yeah, thick chest. He was like, I think he powerlifted too, Jimmy.
Yeah, he did. He was training with who's the guy from Columbus, the real famous guy, the famous powerlifter.
Ed Cohen, or no?
No. Oh,
Pacifico?
No, the real crazy guy. I can't think of his name. Where Mike Francois was training.
Oh, there's so many guys from Ohio.
The guy owns that small, it's like a small gym and all the powerlifters go there.
I know. I know what you're talking about. I can't. It's on the tip of my tongue. I can't remember.
Yeah. We'll remember it. Yeah, but he was training with him, I guess, right from the beginning. So that's where he got all size, I guess, training heavy with him.
Yeah, that was still the weight classes. I mean, the height classes, the USA that year.
Right, right. So how old were you in 1980, Jerry, when you did that Junior USA?
I think I might have been just about 21, I think.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So you're pretty young then, competing at the national level.
Yeah, I just, like I said, it was in New York, and me and Bob talked about it. And even Bob even said, I don't know how you're going to deal. And I said, no, it's not, just going to train hard and go in. And I didn't weigh that much there either. I can tell you if I might have weighed in the 180s. But it was a great experience taking the top five,
Yeah. What was your training like? Were you going real heavy?
Yeah, I trained heavy. I did a lot of sets. I trained, always try and train fast, and heavy. And like I said, from the Mr. America days, there was always a lot of sets. And really, a lot of guys think that, Steve and Johnny went light. They didn't go light.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen them do 315 incline with 90-pound fly going back and forth. I mean, I've seen some, crazy workouts. And
yeah.
But if you kept moving, people said you overtrain, but you can overtrain if you don't eat. That's the whole, gimmick of that,
Yeah.
And it's to each his own, whatever works. I mean, if the three sets works for you, then it's good for you,
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So you started off in the AAU. So when the MPC started coming around 82, were you switching over to there? Did you want to, go through all that, the Nationals, the Universe, and then try to turn pro? That was the stepladder, right?
Yeah, back then, I don't think too much was – I didn't really – maybe a lot of people didn't know, maybe some – I don't know if you emphasized much on the pro card because you always looked at these guys and it's like, can you get there? I mean, how long is this going to take? And you would train a long time even before you maybe competed back then.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the guys were like, you would get there and you're like, wow, these guys are great.
Yeah.
You got a lot of work to do. So you would go back home and, like, you know, this is what you had to do. But, yeah, after 81, oh, yeah, I went, funny, after 81, I figured, oh, you know what, I'm going to go to the, I guess the America that year was sort of the America Nationals, if you remember that, 81, it changed, 82.
That was your Belknap won it, right?
Yeah, Timmy won that. And I went there. I said, you know, let me go. I had where I trained, they actually paid for me to go, you know? I wasn't even ready. And not that I wasn't taken serious. I didn't just know the whole thing about the shows and the Nationals. You know, I was new to this. I loved to train, but I didn't, you know, back then I didn't know how good the guys were. Back then they gave you the places. It wasn't maybe after 16 today. They don't put it
out. 16 in a circle.
Yeah, I think I took like 22nd place.
Right.
You know? Yeah, I look good. I mean, I look good for myself, but I don't look good there. But you know why? You don't get discouraged. You know, you're going there expecting these guys. You know, I think Rory took second to Belknap that year.
He did, yeah. He dropped down to light heavyweight, yeah.
Yeah, and I can't remember one of the other classes, but yeah, I mean,
Lance Dreher won the heavyweights. Remember, and that camp was real close between him and Belknap for the overall. Yeah,
Belknap was great. Belknap was hard as a rock. I mean, you know,
he
was really good. But yeah, you go home and you're like, okay, you know, you worked on, you know, and you know,
right,
you're training long, you know, you're trying different stuff, more food or whatever you got to do, and you know, and that's it. And you just keep plugging away. I just kept, you know, kept plugging away. I knew I had to do it. I just had to, you know, what really turned it around. I guest posed out Long Island, and I was just big, but I wasn't in good shape. And I was sitting in the parking lot and ready to leave. Bob was there. And he knocked on the window. He said, "I'll be your friend forever." He said, "If you ever come looking like that ever again," he goes, "I'll never help you."
Wow.
I remember sitting in the parking lot for like hour or two later with the lights coming down to the school. I'm like, geez, this guy's my friend. And I thought right there, I always trained hard. It was just, I like to go out and party and thought it wasn't on. And then from that on, I just, you know, I said, I got to take this serious. And then that was it. That, you know, put a light on your head, you know?
Yeah. Were you training with Mike Quinn back then? I've seen a lot of pictures of you guys training.
When Mike was in the team Nationals, Bob worked with him. And then, you know, Mike used to come down from, actually, Mike stayed with me for a bit for the team, for that Nationals in New York.
Okay.
And we were eating like, I know, like I said, my dad had passed away, but he came anyway. And we were eating like crazy. Bob was over. Bob used to come to my parents' house a lot and stay over.
Uh-huh.
You know, and my mother was a really good cook. And Bob was telling me and Mike, "What are you guys doing? You guys are eating too much." He goes, "Even though it's good food, it's too many calories." You know?
Right, right.
And so Mike used to come down after that. He would drive down. He would stay with me a couple of days over the weekend. We go train and stuff, you know.
Uh huh. So what'd you think of Mike as a teenager? Because he was unbelievable.
He was
right?
Huge. I mean, his back and arms, and he was just. I think he was like amongst. He was just like a man amongst everybody.
Yeah, he really was. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable. He was strong. I mean, strong legs, everything. He was just powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we used to have some good times. We used to have some good training sessions and stuff.
Yeah, but I love those old shots of you guys training real heavy when you're both real young.
I used to put it like he'd come down, like I would kill him with legs. I remember one time we got back to my house. He was almost couldn't even get up the stairs.
Right.
In my house. But
what kind of weights were you using back then, Jerry? Do you remember?
I squatted 675, you know, with like no wraps and a pair of Adidas track sneakers on.
Right, right.
Yeah, I always squat a lot. And I mean, I've done 500 for 20 and, you know, just crazy, crazy weights, you know. And I did a lot of front squats too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I used to go 400 or 500 with the fronts.
Damn. Okay.
You know, that was just, like I said, I seen class and I was like, man, this guy's, and you know, you just, started squatting. I used to have like squat-a-thons in the gym.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The training was so different back then. It was just so hardcore and everybody trained hard in the gym, you know.
Yeah. You had no choice. I mean, you probably remember, you'd get ridiculed if you weren't training.
Yeah. Hard. Yeah. It was like a badge of honor. Yeah. You were looked down upon if you didn't train hard.
Where I trained at Olympic Health Club, my friend Tony owned, like they had a big powerlifting team there. And then I trained at Joey Fulco owned East Coast Gym. Mm-hmm. And everybody trained hard. Whether you were 150 or 250, you were benching over 300. You know, you were just made to do that weight.
Right.
You know, it was no, I can't do it, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, it's just different. You know, like I said, everything evolves. Everything is different now.
Well, it's funny what you said about how you used to train for years before you ever did a show. A couple of years ago, I had this website called Florida Physique, and I was going around interviewing all the winners of the shows in Florida every week. And I'd interview these bikini girls, and they, you know, these were the winners. These were the girls that won the overall. And they'd be like, I'd say, how long have you been training? Not training for the show, but how long have you been training? And they're like, 6 months. I mean, no, not for the show. I mean, how long have you been training overall? Yeah, 6 months. That's it. You know, oh, wow. Yeah. It's like they just started training and they're winning shows, you know?
Yeah, I think back then, like you said, I don't think like the whole main idea was like, all right, I'm going to start training and go for my pro card. But I hear these guys today, yeah, I'm going to go for my pro card. I'm like, what shows are you watching?
Right.
You know, it's good to have that in your head, but you got to be, you know, realistic. I mean, I've been to the last couple of USA. Some good. There's a lot of good guys out there. And I got to tell you, I see guys taking 12th place, 13th. And they can win that class. They just come off. It's that close, man.
Yeah, you know, right.
They're not coming on. It's not like they're not any good. Like people are, oh, this guy, it doesn't matter. The guy, he's just not on. If he, you know, did the right thing, he'd be in the top two or win. There's that many genetic guys, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, especially at that level. You got to come in on. You know, you can't come in off.
Yeah, no, it's you got to come in conditioned. You got to come in conditioned. I mean, and if you got the condition and the shape, you're first or second every time.
Yeah.
You know, you love. I always talk about like people like, oh, you know, I got ripped off and that. And most of the times, there's no politics. Whoever really won.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I always get that. Did you ever get screwed? I said no. Whatever, I got placings. It was my own fault.
Right. Let me ask you about the 85 AAU America, that one that Mike Antorino won, and you were in the short class, and Victor Terra was first, and Quincy Roberts was second, and you were third. I always heard Chris Aceto talking about Victor Terra and just what a great bodybuilder he was.
Yeah, I know Victor really good. You know, he worked with Bob, too. And Victor did... I think Victor won that Teenage USA that year. Beat James DeMello and Franco, I think, for the old.
Wow! And then he wins his class at the America as a teenager.
Yeah, he was a middleweight. He beat both of them. He beat all of them in the overall.
Jeez, unbelievable!
I think that's on YouTube. Victor was huge. I mean, he was just he was unbelievable. Like big legs, big arm, huge back.
Yeah.
You know, he was unbelievable, Victor. You know, I think a couple of times he did went to NPC, came off. Like you said, you got to come on, even though you can win that class. If you're not going to come on, you're not going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And he was good enough to win that middleweight, but I think he just came off a little bit. You know.
Yeah.
So, but he could have been one of the best short guys ever. He was.
Yeah.
Enormous. Yeah, that short class was pretty good. I mean, it was me, Quincy, and Victor.
Right.
It was pretty sick. And Quincy was great too.
Yeah, he was. Awesome. He was a great bodybuilder. Yeah.
I think Quincy won the middleweights. I don't know what year, I think, in the NPC. I'm not sure.
I think you're right. It might have been 84.
I don't remember.
I can't remember either. What did you think of Mike that year, Mike Antorino? Because he was really in top shape.
Mike was in great condition.
Yeah.
He was in really good condition. And, you know, and that same thing, Bob, you know, he worked with Bob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know how many guys Bob had, Mr. America. Jeff, him.
Right.
Richie Beretta.
Right. Yeah, I remember him. Mr. America winner.
I had skipped over that year. You know, I went in the universe.
Okay.
You know, and stuff. And Richie had won the 87 America. And, you know, Bob had, you know, Joe Mico. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, he might have six or seven guys in a row, I think, with the America.
Yeah. When did you think you really reached your peak, Jerry? Was it right in 87, 88 when you were doing those napping
universes? I started putting it together, you know, always the training. But I started putting together the diet, just doing everything right.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I said, the 86, I went to the Nationals, powerlifting Nationals. I incorporated, like, for 3 months out of the year, I powerlifted, you know, and then I
did a
5-day routine. Then I went back to my old craziness and stuff. But yeah, it just, everything came. I mean, Chris Aceto was at Bob's house that week I left for the university. He couldn't believe how sliced I was. He actually asked me, he said, how much cardio did you do? And I just looked at him. I never did an ounce of cardio. He'll always tell Dave Palumbo that. Yeah, I asked Jerry. He looked at me like it was a trick question.
Right.
Yeah, I never did any cardio.
It was just training and diet, right?
Yeah, just training like crazy. I actually trained. I would do chest and arms, legs the next day, back and shoulders, day off, and then repeat. So I was getting everything in 1 week, like twice a week.
Yeah.
Stuff. You know, I was eating good. You know, Bob always fed us. He never, like, drained out
starved
the carbs. I ate a lot of carbs. All the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Same pasta. I tell people to eat pasta today. They look at me like I'm nuts. there's nothing wrong with it. It's just another carb.
Yeah, it's just a carbohydrate, right, yeah.
Yeah, you know, rice. So, you know, same thing. No secrets. Eggs. You know.
Right. Right.
Meat, you know.
Do you think the guys were more conditioned, more ripped back then?
I don't know. There's some pretty ripped up guys today. I mean,
yeah.
I think you have to really, like I said, I've been to the last couple of USAs and the Nationals, and there's some really ripped up guys. You know, the guys.
Mm-hmm.
The pictures and the videos everybody posts up, you can't tell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't tell at all. But you know, when you're at these shows. You know, these guys look good. Even when you go to the pro shows too, you got to be at the show.
Yeah, right. It's a different experience. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't tell by the video because right away someone else. Oh, and meanwhile, I was there in the front row. The guy looked amazing. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And stuff. Well, so yeah, there's a lot of. I don't know. Like, I guess, like you said, everything evolves. But you know, the guys were ripped back then. Anyway, guys ripped in. You know, look at Richard Baldwin, Joe Means. Some guys are shredded.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had great physiques, you know, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
You know, guys, 90s were a little bigger, you know, Wheeler and them guys, and, you know, in
right.
2000s, Ronnie, and, you know, it goes on and on, Jay.
Yeah, yeah. What was it like doing that NAVA universe and competing against guys from all over the country or all over the world, I mean?
I'll tell you a good story. In 87, the amateur, when I get there, I'm in the lobby, and I'm looking across, and I see this guy across. And you used to probably read all the Iron Man magazines. Remember the old ones?
They had a lot of
NABBA stuff. And I see this guy across, and I'm looking. I'm like, wow, it's Terry Phillips.
Yeah.
I was always kind of shy. I never used to go up to him, but I said, I got to go up to this guy. I've been reading about this guy since I'm a kid.
Right, right.
So I go up to him. I said, oh, hi, you're Terry Phillips. He said, yes. I said, wow, I've been reading about you in Iron Man magazine for years. I said, my name's Jerry Scalise. He goes, oh, I know who you are.
Really?
Yeah, so we started talking, and, you know, I compete against Terry. Let me tell you, Terry, I never seen the guy out of shape ever.
Yeah.
He was probably maybe in his 40s then. I mean, this guy was, he was cement hard.
Wow, you know? Really?
And I remember him back from the magazines. He was cement hard. And we competed a couple of times in a short class, and then we became friends, and, probably that year or maybe the next year I came back. Terry had a club and a gym next door, and I did a seminar with him at one of his clubs.
Oh, really? Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it was cool. Really, one of the nicest guys I ever met. And I met a lot of guys. You know, Frank Richards. Remember
sure.
Walter O'Malley?
Yeah, yeah. Boyer Cole's talking
yeah.
about him.
Wow, Walter. He took me down to his house the next day after the universe. He ran this great show down in Warrington where he lived. I mean, he bring every weight, height class winner and pro guys. There must have been 8 guest posers. I was on stage with Jeff, Joe DeAngelis, Vince Taylor, base, you know,
wow.
And a couple other guys. And me and Vince were next to each other. Vince was around the AAU still then.
Okay, you
know,
yeah. 87,
really
yeah.
Vince was. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and Walter, I stayed with Walter a couple of months there in England. And he has one of the best hardcore gyms in England. Unbelievable.
Wow, yeah.
But yeah,
Boyer Cole was talking about him when I interviewed Boyer.
Okay. Yeah, it was just a great, I don't know if you've ever been over there to a show. No other audience than over there goes nuts.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Oh,
no.
The English crowd, they got the horns and they go
yeah.
crazy. Yeah, it's nuts. And then, you know, I went back the next year to the pro show, you know.
Okay, so if you won your class, you were able to turn pro.
I went back to the next year. I had a lot of stuff. I stayed there actually from September to maybe December. I had a lot of guest poses right after the amateur.
Wow. Okay.
So I stayed at Walter's house. You know, I went up to Scotland, up to Wales. And, you know, you've seen all the NABBA guys, Ian Lawrence and, you know, just the old guys you used to see in the magazines. It was great, you know.
Yeah. And, well, you beat some good guys in that pro show, Jerry. You beat Rufus Howard. You beat Jeff King, Marlon Darden, Francis.
And it's funny. The next year in '88, I went over. I toured there for 3 months. I stayed in this place, Physique 2000. That was the gym I trained. It was in Luton. And that's where Charlie Clamont trained. Me and Charlie became great friends. We trained together for a couple of months.
Oh, wow. And then you competed against each other at the
NAL. Yeah, well, I knew when I left there that I would have to really put the pedal to the metal. Because I know I just knew it was going to be between me and him when I got back there.
Right, right. He had a great physique, didn't he?
Oh, probably one of the most gifted physiques. Just awesome physique. An awesome guy, you know. Mm-hmm. Awesome guy. You know, we hung out. We went out. You know, I ate over his mom's house. You know, we bonded pretty good, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And stuff. And then, you know, I came back in September. It was close. I got, you know, I think I must have lost maybe by a point because I had
really?
One guy had me. It was like first and second. And I had one guy had me in fourth place trying to kill me. You know, so, you know, but you know what? Me and Charlie trained together and I was 218 pounds that day.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, I put like 20. I was about, for the amateur, I was maybe 197, 190. I put like 20 pounds on in a year.
Holy cow, wow. Do you think that was your best ever, Jerry?
Yeah. After that, yeah, I was full. I was big. I mean, that was my best ever. That was the last show I ever competed in.
Oh, really? Huh. Why did you decide to make that one your last one?
Well, I actually didn't. I went home and I went back out to Ed Connors. Me and Ed go back a long time, and mm-hmm. he gave me an opportunity to buy into a gym in California.
Okay.
Over in Northridge Golds, and I went over there. I was out there for a bit. I was almost packing up the move, and then he was hooking me up with someone at the gym. And then the deal fell through, and I had I had everything packed up ready to go out there.
Wow.
So then I was like, I had to start training for the Pro Universe. That was around early '88, so I ended up, you know, had to revamp everything. And then I went to Pro Universe, and after that, I guess posed for a bit again. And I decided I'm gonna go back and, you know, the MPC. I got my body now where I can go in there and win.
Right.
And I was what was good about the MPC too, and Jim Mannion. I know Jimmy since the Teen USA was in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
I was probably NABBA guy to pose at NPC shows.
Okay.
I mean, I posed at maybe four or five of them, and they never like said I couldn't pose, and I always was thankful for that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and like I said, I never walked away from the NPC say, oh, I'm leaving there because politics. It was no politics. I got what I deserved on stage, you know. Mm-hmm. And when I did look good, I won the Junior USA Light Heavy, you know. I didn't look good those couple of shows. So, you know, they let me pose. And around, I would say, I think it was 88 or, no, I'm sorry, it was 89. I posed down in North Carolina for, I don't know if you remember the guy, Gillespie. He used to run the USA at one time.
Okay.
I don't remember the name. So I guess posed down in North Atlantic. It was a national qualifier. And I trained for that. For a show, like I was going into a cock, because I know it was the first NPC show I posed at.
Uh-huh.
And I walked on stage. I was big, I was hard. And I came off there. They were like, he came running up to me. He said, are you going to hit my USA? I said, yeah, I'm just sitting out a year and I'm going to hit the 90 USA.
Okay.
Well, I was training for that. I was probably up in the 260s. And then that was the year they drug tested everything, if you remember.
Yeah, I remember in 1990, they drug tested all the big national shows.
I was training for that, and I just said, you know what, I'm not going to go in. And that was it. That was the last time I...
Oh, really?
Never got back on stage again.
Wow.
Yeah, I just walked away. Then, like, 89, 90, we opened up the goals. Did I miss it? Yeah. I don't know. I got to the point where it was almost like I couldn't go on stage unless I was going to look like that 88 and better again.
Yeah, that was your measuring stick.
Yeah, so the gym opened up. And, I mean, 88, I'll be honest with you, I definitely could have won the heavyweights at the Nationals. I know I could have.
Yeah.
You know, I know I could have. I mean, I mean, even Dave always tells me, for me, he goes, you could have stood in that 88 Olympia.
Wow, that's great.
Wow. But, and you know, it's just like gym open. And then a couple of years later, I got the bug. I was going to train for the North America. I was up to like 275. And I got in a bad car accident. I was out at night partying and hit a couple of guardrails and stuff.
Oh, wow.
And I said, you know what? This is not in the cards again. It's starting all over again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just, you know, I just, I stepped back. Then I just started, you know, helping people go into shows and stuff.
Okay. Gotcha.
And that's what I did. But yeah, I had a really good career. I mean, you know, like I said, the people ask me, well, you know, what about, could you have been in the, yeah, I could have, but I don't look back. I just, you know, I could have, would have, should have, you know, I had,
right.
You know, I had a great time. I traveled all over the world, all over the United States. So I met some great, I mean, great people. I mean, especially in 83 out in Goals, that's when it was kicking.
Oh yeah. Tell me about that. Yeah. You went out there for a while.
Yeah. Samir was, yeah, I lived out, Ed Connors put me up on his, in his beach house.
Okay.
For, I don't know how, for a couple of months. And he was one of the influences of me opening up the gym with a couple of partners out here.
Okay.
Goals. Yeah, I stayed there. I was a block away from Goals. We were right on the beach. I mean, you know, what's better than that,
right, TD? Right. No, yeah. So, bodybuilder's dream.
Yeah, and everybody was there. Flats, Samir, you know, just everybody was there. It was great.
Yeah.
You know? And stuff. It was that's when it was really kicking out. So
but, yeah, that was, you know,
it was like you know, like you said, it's like your dream. Like when you're, you know, reading the magazines, you're out there.
Yeah. Did you compete with Samir? What was it that it was a WABA show? I think it was in Massachusetts.
No, I didn't. Jeff King did.
Yeah, Jeff did. Yeah, I thought you were in that too.
Yeah, just let me say that Samir, one of the best Olympians ever.
Yeah.
His physique is just unreal.
Yeah, he looked good in that show, too. I think it was 85, right? That one in Massachusetts.
I think every show he looked great, but that 83 Olympia, I mean, gee.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Every time you see that back pose, it's like mind-boggling.
It's funny because I worked with him at Old School Labs, and we were out at the Olympia last year, and somebody had a video, and I never saw this video before. It was from that 85 WABA show, the one in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And it was really a great video because they had him backstage. I think they had him in the gym, and then they had the show, the pose down, the prejudging, everything, and he just looked perfect. You know, he just looked full and ripped and everything. And he was they were showing it at the booth we were at, and he had a table there, and he was signing autographs. And everybody that came up to get a picture with him, he was like, he turned around and looked at the video. He goes, look at that. Look at my back. Look how good it looks.
Yeah, today you character. Still look at it. It's just mind-boggling.
Yeah.
And I don't think Samir weighed that much either. That's why he doesn't matter.
No. Mm-mm. No, I think he was under everything. He was like 193, I think, when he won the Olympics.
Yeah, everything's just an illusion.
Yeah. Hey, you were around back then, Jerry. How do you think the physique stacked up back then compared to how they are today? Because I know the guys are so much bigger now. We just did a show not too long ago with Lonnie Tieper and Peter McGuff, and I was asking them, you know, because we were talking about how the symmetry and the shape was so highly regarded back then compared to the guys today who were so big, you know.
I mean, you have a lot of the synthol use.
Yeah.
You know, the oil and stuff kind of throw. I mean, some guy has a great arm and he's putting the oil in there. I don't know for what reason. Then
it
looks like everybody has the same arm sometimes.
Right.
You know, but I don't know. 90s was sick. I mean, Flex and Sean and.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like you said, the guys are just big today. I mean, Roden's got great. I mean, Roley's huge. I mean, the guys, Bonick's ripped up. He's big. It's just a different. I don't know if it's a different look, but just like I said, it evolves, and it's like anything else. Guys are just going to get bigger.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, shape wise, I don't know. It's the Olympia now, and it's just like anything else. I mean, the big is going to win. I mean, Phil's great. I mean, I don't think Phil lost by much last year.
Right.
You know, he opened the door, I guess, you know, with the stomach thing, they said, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I still thought he was great to the back than anybody else.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that way.
But, sure, I mean, Roden's got a great physique. I mean, just he reminds you like Nouvray just standing there.
Yeah. Well, that's what Lonnie Tieper's point was. You know, Lonnie's a big sports guy, so he was comparing it, like, to basketball and stuff, and he was saying how everything evolves and the guys keep getting bigger and bigger. But my argument was, well, does that mean they're getting better? You know, just because they're getting bigger, does that mean the physiques are better? Because if you look at someone like Samir, who was so perfect at under 200 pounds, I mean, is there a limit on how much muscle you can carry before it goes too far, you know?
Oh, yeah. I personally think, I always kind of write it up, I always wanted to see Flex go against the open winner.
Oh, in the 212, yeah.
Yeah, why not? I mean, Labrada, Lee Priest, Mohamed Benzania, those guys didn't weigh much, and they won shows. They beat people. And
yeah,
I guess,
yeah.
I don't know, maybe back then you weren't looking at the weight, you were looking at the physique.
Yeah, that's my point, yeah.
Yeah, now these guys are so immense, you know, you're just, they're walking out, and you're like, holy shit. You know?
Right. It's hard to compare them to a smaller guy,
I would have loved to see Flex in the overall, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, what, he has no weak body parts.
I know, yeah.
And he's ripped, and, I mean, he's great. I think, personally, he can be top five in the open.
Yeah, a lot of people feel that way, yeah.
I mean, you know, why not? I mean, I don't look at, like, people ask me, well, he's not that. I said, I'm not looking at the weight. I'm looking at the guy's physique, and what I see there is a great physique. He's a Mr.
Right, Lister. Right, right.
But it's hard to talk to, I mean, you know, like, you've been around for a while, and I've been around since the 70s, so I've seen everybody evolve.
Yeah.
I can give an opinion, you know, and, you know, and I don't rip into today's, like, you know, like, it, like you said, it evolves. It is what it is, you know. I mean, I like seeing some of the freaks up there.
And
stuff. It's pretty pretty amazing and stuff, you know.
Yeah. So what's your training like now, Jerry?
I train a lot, but I just, I don't do that much. I just, every day, like lately, I'll go in the gym. I'll do a squat, a deadlift, a bench, close grip, a barbell curl, and I'll get out of there. You know? And then maybe the next day, I'll just take one exercise, a body part, and I'll just do a ton of reps. Like one exercise, one set, and go. And then like a couple of weeks ago, I took a couple of, one of the kids that I help out really good. I went old, I just got it in me. I must have did 30, 40 sets of legs with them.
Wow.
You know, I'm like crazy. You know, one of the kids was throwing up outside. And you know, they're looking at me. I said, this is nothing. I could do this every day, I go.
Right.
You know, but yeah, I get in that mode sometimes where I need, you know, that craziness. Pretty heavy for the last, the big kid Vinny I trained, you've probably seen him on the
show. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, me and him were training for a while. I was up to like 255, 260. Then one morning I woke up and I said, you know what? I got to stop. This is too heavy. You know, and I ended up going on I actually went out and bought Tupperware. I went on a contest diet because I don't know how to diet regular. I got to either contest diet or not.
Right.
And I took a break. I took 6 weeks off because I was training with them. These kids are like 23, 24, you know?
Right.
And I was training right with them. So I took 6 weeks off and I just I walked on the beach every morning and I just dieted. I dropped down. Right now I'm probably 210.
Okay. You know?
I got down to about 200 and stuff. Then I started training again. So I kind of eat, I don't eat as much. I mean, because I'm a meal or two away from being 230.
Right.
But yeah, I still love to, every now and then I like to get in there and just, you know, go nuts.
How's your body feeling? Good? No injuries or anything?
Yeah, no, I'm fine. You know, I can still squat. I can still deadlift, you know.
Wow. That's great. So,
yeah. I love to get in there. I don't know how, sometimes I try to go light and just, you know, you go in there and just, the people are, you still work? I said, I don't know. Right now I'm working out. I'm not training.
Right, right.
And then it gets too boring. I don't know how people do it.
I know. I don't either. I'm still going heavy too. And, you know, people say I shouldn't because I'm older and stuff. And I've been training for so long. But, yeah, I'm the same
as
way.
As long as you warm up and you're not like crazy or stupid lifting.
Right.
You know when to push in the day. You know when you go walking in there. Can I do the weight? I'm not going to do it. Find out now. I'm like, okay. The other day, I put a little heavy weight on the dead, and I went underneath there. I just moved it a smidgen. I said, you know what? I'm not even going to try to get this up today.
Right.
So you kind of get smart as you get older, I guess.
Yeah, you have to. Otherwise, and how old are you now, Jerry?
60.
All right, man. Good for you. Well, it was great talking to Jerry. I keep training all those young guys out there, and I wish you the best, and I always wanted to talk to you about your career because I've been a big fan of yours for a long time, so it was great catching up with you.
The pictures you post up are great of you.
Thank you.
Podcasts are great. It's great hearing, you know, old stories that, you know, guys you grew up to.
Yeah, yeah.
Reading the magazines. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I think all the guys from our era really like it, so I'm glad everybody's tuning in and listening to it, you know?
Yeah, Richard Baldwin is one of the good ones, you know.
Yeah. Right, yeah, I just put Leon Braun up this week. I'm sure you know Leon, right? He's from the New York area.
Yeah, I know Leon for years.
Yeah, he has some good stories.
He probably has the best, actually.
Yeah, because he was training out there in the golden era, you know, in Venice Beach. Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on.
All right, Jer. It was great talking to you, and hopefully we'll talk to you again.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Take care.
Bye.
All right, thank you for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Thanks to Jerry Scalise for joining us on the show. Thank you also to our sponsors, Florida Alternative Medicine and Old School Labs, for sponsoring this episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. I also want to thank our Patreon sponsors. If you want to be a Patreon sponsor and help sponsor the cost for the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, I would really appreciate it. Just go to our website, which is bodybuildinglegendsshow.com, and in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see the Patreon link. So I want to thank our Patreon sponsors, Scott Barron, Mark Johnson, and James Kerr, who are giving to the show every month. So thank you very much, guys. Your pledges and your donations are definitely appreciated, and you help keep this show going. Next week, we will have an interview with Joe Means. Joe was one of the top bodybuilders in the 1970s. He competed in all the top national-level shows, and he won the most muscular title at the 1976 AU Mr. America contest, beating out the overall winner, Cal Scalak, for that title. Joe also beat Tom Platz for the best legs title. So we're going to find out how he was able to achieve such crazy muscularity and definition at a time when most people struggled to get ripped, which was in the 1970s. So that interview will be next week right here on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Please, if you're an Apple subscriber, please leave a review, and you can leave some comments there on the Apple page, and I would appreciate that. That helps bring our show up. And thanks again to Florida Alternative Medicine and Old School Labs for sponsoring this show. We will see you guys next week. Hope I feel better by then. Take care, everybody. Have a great week. See you then.